one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
When you go through a healing, you're going to go through a healing crisis. And you're going to think you're dying when you're getting well. Don't be afraid. If you're going into a fast, go in it by faith. And then give Mother Nature some help. All she needs is a bunch of water. I think it'd be good to wash your face. Wash your eyes with cold water. And it would certainly be good, actually, if I could say it, and you know, ought to know what I'm talking about. You take some good internal baths. That'll help Mother Nature quicker than anything that I know of. She'll just stir up a lot of old poisons, and there'll be gases and everything else and so forth. And if you just could, instead of washing off, wash out. Right. And every little girl ought to be taught, and every man and woman, and every member of the family, they ought to be able to take an inside bath just as quick as they would go take an outside bath. Everybody runs in and said, well, I haven't had my bath. I got to go take a bath. Why don't we wash on the inside sometime? I'm just simply saying it's just the simplest thing in all the world. And water is the healer, but you got to get the water to where the dirt is. And the dirt, the disease dirt, is on the inside, not on the outside. Cancer doesn't start on the outside. You hardly ever find a person with a cancer on the outside. You don't get scared of a cancer. You got a little old wart or something, they just whack it off and, you know, going about and so forth. And people have cigarette cancers on the lip and they cut them off. Brother, it's them old inside cancers get to working. And it's an accumulation of poisons that get in there. And I tell you this, the right kind of water, oh, the water cure, the hydrotherapy, and the water baths, be a blessing to you. Be a blessing to you. Well, this is a family meeting. Now then, what shall I do? You said I'm not supposed to eat. I'm not supposed to have a lot of food. And I'd say this, any fast, if you're really on a fast, you ought to just get a divorce from the cook stove. Somebody said, well, I eat a little, eat a little. I wouldn't cook nothing. If I was going to have anything, I'd have a piece of fruit. And if anybody in the world had plenty of fruit, it's us. Brother, God's way is the best way. I can remember back in my ignorant days when I'd have grapefruit, you know. Oh, I never did particularly like it, but if I could put enough white sugar on it, I could down it. That's great, wasn't it? You can't imagine me being that stupid. See, I've learned a lot since then. My old depraved appetite, meat, bread, potatoes, and thickening gravy, and that's it. That is my menu every morning for breakfast. Not anything good for... And sausage. Oh, listen, I guess so. And then that old ham, boy, I tell you, wake up in the morning and that ham aroma sweeping down that long ranch house hall. And hearing that oven door open and hear my mama is scraping the boards, you know, where she'd rolled out the big biscuits, you know. And I'd go in there at the table and, Well, Mother Nature, listen, God will forgive you. Mother Nature will never forgive you. Never. You go ahead. There's one thing about it. You're going to reap just what you sow physically. You abuse this body, and Mother Nature will never forgive you. She's going to always send the bill. She's going to send the bill. You little girls think that you can live a little Frito life and a potato chip life. And you think, I want to say something else. And I want this to get around. I've been noticing a little makeup sneaking out. Some red lips and a bunch of barn paint stuck around on some of you, see. Now, unless you're double ugly, we won't allow that. Now, if you're just so ugly that nobody can stand to look at you, we might let you put a little barn paint on. We want everybody to know that when you begin to paint up, it's because you're the ugliest thing we got. Now, every once in a while I notice, you know, the cheeks are a little redder and the lips sometimes have a bunch of that stuff splattered around. Now, we don't need it. In the first place, it's poison. Did you know that? And that stuff you put up over your eyebrows and eyelids and all that kind of stuff, that's poison. See? That's dye. And you'll die and your eyes will suffer for it. I tell you, I wish we could come back to where people just live normal and natural. Oh, I tell you, brother, I know I'm kind of on a tear tonight, but this is the time to do it. You see, I came up in a time when nobody knew anything about deodorants. I mean, wasn't anybody in Navarre County could even spell deodorant. I never heard of it till I'd already moved off. Well, I was plumb gone and gone. I didn't know what people talk about deodorant. I didn't know what that was. Back in on our farm, we thought that men were just supposed to smell like that. I mean, that was just a part of being a man. Brother, a boy come along smelling like a girl with talcum powder, he just was a sissy. I mean, we just thought, see? But, you know, now then, everybody, we're living in a time, you know, of all sorts of deodorants. You know what that is? That seals the poisons on the inside. Do a bunch of shaving and squirt all that stuff and seal it over and said, poisons, just don't come out now. You stay in there. You may kill me, but I don't want to smell like it. Huh? We wouldn't need so many deodorants if we lived a little cleaner. Poisons. Why is it that, have you ever heard of people saying, oh, my feet smell? That's where the poisons come out. Why don't you just go ahead and live a clean life and get off of your junk and let your body be clean? Why don't you do that? Try that sometimes. Have you ever noticed a little baby, how sweet the little baby's breath is? Have you ever heard anybody say, sweet as a baby's breath? Huh? Listen. Why is it that people get such foul odors out of their mouth and out of their nose? Why? I tell you why. It's coming off of something dead. Huh? There's something dead somewhere. Oh, listen. You'd say, why don't you start preaching? I'm preaching, you just don't know it. You just don't want to practice it. That's your trouble. Listen, dear friends, I believe this. The older people get, the more poisons accumulate on the inside. You hear people say, you know, I've never had a sick day. I just eat anything I want to eat. I heard a man get on the radio one time, and he said, listen, I can eat anything. I can eat ham and potatoes. I eat French fries before I go to bed. And I can eat nails. Nothing bothers me. In 30 days from the time he said he was dead, he got away overweight. He took off 50 pounds in just a few days, had a stroke, and died. You know, Mother Nature's not going to put up with a lot of foolishness. You go ahead, you violate the laws of nature. Bro, that's one law you'll never get by violating. I guarantee Mother Nature's got her FBI man that'll get you every time. Don't you think she won't? She'll get you. Why, she's a pretty stern. You know, Mother Nature, see, If you'd live right, you see, she performs a bloodless operation every night if you'd give her a chance. See, you get in, and of course, I know it. I don't like to sleep either. I mean, I don't like to go to bed, but you got to. And you go in, and you, before you go to bed, you go by the kitchen. And you go in there and said, what are we going to eat now? What do you got? Let's eat. We're going to eat something. Mother Nature said, no, now don't eat, because I'm on a clean house tonight while you're asleep. But you go ahead and you fill up on a bunch of stuff, and you lay there, and brother, those gases begin to circulate and hit your brain, and you have a nightmare. Man, see? And Mother Nature, see, she's got you. She gave you an anesthetic when she put you to sleep, but you kicked and ragged so she couldn't operate. She wanted a clean house, you see, but you wouldn't let her. She wanted to heal you up during the night, make you feel refreshed. And, no, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. The heart, you know, said, well, I was hoping to get a little rest tonight, but since he ate those fried potatoes and that chunk of meat, I'm going to have to pump all night. Try to digest all that junk he ate. The liver said, me too. I don't want to get any rest myself. And all the rest of it, gallbladder and all the rest. See, everything had to work all night long. You wake up the next morning, you know what you do? Or you kind of raise up and you sit there. What time is it? 7 o'clock. I don't feel like I've been to bed. Man, I'm tired out. I wasn't when I went to bed. Uh-huh. You know why? You worked all night. You worked all night, see? Your vital organs had to work all night. I'm talking to you. What is fasting? Fasting is refusing to eat like you ordinarily do, and then it's spending time in the Word of God and prayer. Now, what are you going to do when you go on a fast? I think one good thing would be take a good walk every day. I mean, a brief walk. I say a brisk walk instead of brief. Just really take off and then just breathe as deep as you can. You'd be surprised how much lungs you got that never have been used. You, and of course, I know what'll happen. You breathe real deep, you know, real deep, you know, and you say, oh, I'm getting dizzy. Huh? Yeah, I'm about to faint. Yeah. Well, you know why? You pulled a new exercise on yourself. Listen, according to the reports, nobody ever uses over a third of their lungs. Two-thirds of them go to waste. Breathe. I mean, just breathe. Walk. Breathe and exercise. Read your Bible. Memorize. Spend time in prayer. And be definite in your praying. Don't jump into the prayer and say, now, if it be thy will, dear Lord, will you keep all the homes open? Why, quit you fooling around. I'd be ashamed to approach God like that. That's an insult to God's love and mercy. I better not catch you praying like that. I'll just spank you while you're praying. Can you imagine anybody being stupid enough? Say, Lord, if it be thy will, fix a place where the little girls can stay. And if it be thy will for them to go back to the hippie hives and the dope dives, then thy will be done. Brother, that's not praying. That's wasting your time, and God's already turned you off anyhow. Pray definite. You say, what are we going to pray for? We're going to pray for God's work to be done and souls to be saved. Pray definite. Pray for your home. Pray for your own heart. Pray for victory in your own life. Confess every sin you know about, and then ask God to reveal those you know nothing about. Then forsake every sin. And I want you to get this now. These four things we must have. We must, according to this fast, the Bible says, loose the bands of wickedness. Loose the bands of wickedness. Undo the heavy burden. Let the oppressed go free. And let you break every yoke. Now, brother, I want to park there for a minute. There's some yokes need to be broken in this country. There's not a businessman at all, anywhere, but what would like to see the state-controlled yoke broken. The yoke of the welfare department has got to be broken on the churches and homes. And no need to, everybody's been talking about it, papers been writing about it, but brother, we've got to do something about it. And there's only one hope for the preachers, and that is that the preachers come to the place and say, I refuse to come under your yoke. You will not select one of my workers. I don't need your approval or disapproval. I'm going to run this thing like God says. And every preacher back it up by saying, why, rattling the doors of the jail don't scare me. I'm ready when you are. But I tell you one thing. I'll meet you at the courthouse and I'll ask for justice. If I don't get it, I'll go to jail, but I'll never come under. We've got to break the yoke on our homes and churches. You know what a daddy told me a while ago? He said, Brother Olaf, my boy just came by a while ago, and I'm calling you from Kansas City. He said, I want to know if you'll take him. He said, when my boy, he's been gone, he came by on a motorcycle, and I called that boy and told him to come. And for the first time in his life, he didn't come. He speeded off down the street and gave me the high sign. So much as to say, old man, I may be just in my early teens, but I'll paddle my own canoe. Brother, I said to the daddy, you better paddle his canoe. And he said, that I intend to do, Brother Olaf. I'll promise you when I get that boy back, I'm going to lay into him. But he said one thing, I'm going to be in trouble with the department when he shows them the stripes that I'm going to put on him. They will not endorse or subscribe to Bible discipline. And there's no other way to conquer it. Ah, listen, dear friends, we're living in a time when we don't want any kind of discipline. Mothers and dads are guilty before God of not demanding discipline. There's a yoke that needs to be broken. A yoke. I tell you, won't you pray about it? This thing, it weighs so heavy on my heart till I can hardly live under it. And I'm expecting to see this yoke broken. That's the financial yoke. I'm just tired of it. I'm weary of it. And some of you little old lazy outfits think you've got to get in your car every time you turn around the corner. Why don't you walk for a change? Amen. Now, I tell you, you'd be surprised to know how much money we'd save and how much you'd save on those motors. The worst thing you do on a motor is to start it up and run it about 3 minutes. It doesn't have a chance for the oil to circulate and the motor to get warm, and you jump in it and square it and take off, you know, down the road, and you come up here and it's not even, and jump out. I believe it'd do you good if you'd start walking a little bit. I believe it'd be fine if our people would get on an exercise program and learn how to get around instead of getting crippled and looking forward to walking stick days. Ah, listen to me, dear friends. Sit around until we decay and rot. God's people need discipline today. Sometimes I wish we could get rid of all the automobiles and get back on the horses or bicycles or just walk. Oh, you'd say, well, Brother Wolf, we could never. I know. But dear friends, we just need, I'm trying to pump into you tonight some old-fashioned Bible discipline that'll make you stay well, and you'll be glad that you learn some things and put them to practice. Now then, I must come to the main part that I want to share with you. Why fast? I mean, give the real reasons, Brother Olaf, and here they are. Number one, it's scriptural. I'd be wasting my time if it wasn't in this old book. It's scriptural. You'd say, well, Brother Olaf, you mean the thing that I dread is I won't get to eat anything. Now, wait a minute. It's not a matter of not eating. You're going to eat, you're just going to change gardens. See? You're just going to get out of your garden and go to God's garden. You see, you're fasting to Him. You'd say, but what if I starve? Or what if I die? Well, I tell you what. If you do, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. You'll be happier dead than you were alive anyhow. And so, it's scriptural. That's number one. Number two, Did you know that the foreign mission program started while the church was fasting? The Bible said while they were fasting and praying, the Lord said, separate Barnabas and Saul to the gospel ministry. And they laid their hands. That's where the mission program started, right there. The church was, they weren't in feasting, they were in fasting. And God started a worldwide. Did you know that that very fasting experience of the church was what pumped the gospel to us as Gentiles? Did you know that Paul went west and came to us? Did you know that he came as a missionary to the Gentiles when he left the Jews, and that meant us? And did you know I'm saved tonight because the church decided to pray and fast? Number three, revival has often come. Cities have been saved, like Nineveh. Walls have been rebuilt when Nehemiah prayed and fasted. Jerusalem had her old walls to go up. Her protection came back again when somebody prayed and fasted. Nations have been saved after the death sentence had been passed. Oh, listen. Did you know that little Esther had an opportunity to become queen, and she made it? But the Bible says she was still obedient to Mordecai after she became queen. Whatever he said went. And so Mordecai got in sackcloth and ashes and sat out and lay out by the side of the king's gate. Because you weren't allowed inside the king's gate praying and fasting, especially in sackcloth and ashes. You couldn't come to the king's palace or inside the gate like that. So he got as close as he could, and he lay there day after day, humiliated, broken and burdened, and suffering for his people. Mordecai, no doubt, was older than maybe most of the Jews. And he was a brave man. You remember he saved the king's life and never said one word about it, never did. He never asked for one medal, a better job. He never asked for nothing. He never was publicized, but it was put in a record book. Put in a record book. Somebody found put it in a record book. And so Mordecai, and so Esther, she was rather humiliated. She was the queen. That's my first cousin. Really, that's my foster father. That's my dad. Ah, wonderful dad. And Mordecai, they said, he's out there in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, she said, that ought never to be. That ought not to be. My, listen, said, I'm the queen. And so you take him these clothes. And so they got some clothes and took out to Mordecai. And Mordecai, he said, no. No. He said, go tell Esther to go into the presence of the king. And the word came back, said she couldn't do it. Why? Said, it's against the law. Said, forget the law and get on in there. Said, think about the unrighteous decree that means death for her and me and every Jew we've got. We're going to all be killed. They've already said to the brother, that's exactly where we are right now.
We're delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. If you would like to have a copy of today's message, ask for the title, The Forgotten Doctrine, offer number RO3395. We ask for a gift of at least $10 to help us with shipping and handling. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. We'd like to have the letters to the radio station that you're listening to, and also today's date. This would certainly help us. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir and Brother Roloff reading the Christmas story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth. Some of the most familiar songs are O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come All You Faithful, and many, many more.
We accept credit cards by calling 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is An Old-Fashioned Christmas, offer number 335-12. And include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you can worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.